We changed up our format a little bit for being here, and so Tammy reminded me when I said that about lunch, we're going to break out and come back for one session. She goes, it's actually two sessions put together, and I said, it's going to be so good, it's going to feel like it just flew by. So you guys could help me by making it feel like it flew by. Tammy just spent some time with you ladies. Us guys went through the same list of four kind of difficult parenting situation. And here's what I discovered very quickly. It was like picking at a scab. You ever had a place that you bunged your elbow, you scraped your knee, it's starting to feel good, and for whatever reason, you felt that you needed to, as my mom put it, fiddle with it. You ever do that? And then it hurts all over again. Well, in some respects, as we identified those four difficult situations, it kind of picked at and fiddled with some things that you're facing as parents, and maybe even brought to the surface some other situations like them. Somebody asked me at the break about, they were talking about their particular situation and asking for some encouragement. And let me just reiterate, underscore, highlight, bold, whatever you want to, this principle. It is one of the most foolish things that God ever did to give parenting to rookies. Unless he intended to be part of that process as well. I do not believe that that is Christian rationalization, that that's a seminarian's kind of, here's a band-aid that fix all, but this is what I believe. If you think that in good times you're going to parent without God's help, you are mistaken. In fact, if nothing else, you go, well, I still had good kids. I'm going to say, no, you were just blessed and fortunate to have good kids in spite of what you did. And if you think you're facing those difficult circumstances without God's help, you are waiting for disappointment. Because you'll need God's help through the difficulty, and you'll need God's help if the difficulty doesn't work out the way that you want or hope that it will be. And so that relationship is the most important. Any of you remember when you learned to drive a car? Anybody here learn to drive with a manual transmission, a stick shift? Yeah, any of you, is your neck healed up yet from that experience? You know, I don't know why my dad gave me that bumper sticker that says, grind it till you find it. But if you remember that they gave you a vehicle that had three pedals and told them to operate them with 2 feet, right? Not to mention mine are size 6.5. There wasn't much. They go, well, you put your heel over here and your big toe over here, little toe over here. You can't put one hand out the window and shift it like that. I had a hard time with it, and it was like this. Now, automatic transmission helps that, but can I tell you, I got a manual transmission car in San Francisco where the streets go like this. And you know what? Tammy will admit it. She hates to admit it when I succeed like that, but I handled it like a champ. You know why? I'd had lots of experience driving that stick shift. Parenting is that way. It never seems to have an automatic transmission. It always seems to be that things are changing. I know that some of what I'm about ready to share is going to be out of your boundaries because you either are not there yet or you have been there, but it was a long time ago. But there are some definite seasons of parenting. And I want to share just a few insights about them. I don't know where you are, and I don't need to survey it. I think you will recognize some of these and said, I'm familiar with that. And for others, there's some things that, well, I hate to spoil the fun for you, but they're coming for you, and maybe we can prepare you a little bit for it. First of all, there is one group of individuals in here and only one group of individuals in here that need to hear this. This has to do with the we don't have a baby yet, okay? This is pre-parenting. But believe it or not, parenting begins before we're parents. Tammy and I encourage young couples as they are engaged in marriage counseling not to accelerate them having children, but to begin to talk about then what will parenting look like. Sometimes we have him and her that have different religious perspectives. We have him and her that come from very different backgrounds, maybe wealthy and not as wealthy. We certainly have different personalities. One that said, well, when I was a kid, time out was the worst thing ever. And he says, well, I got my tail end whooped so many times that I just walked in every day and turned around, grabbed my ankles and let my dad go after me. That's how much it was. To have those conversations, what does our parenting plan look like? What does our discipline plan look like? Somebody asked me at lunch, what do you think about sharing your discipline plan with your kids? I think that's a fantastic idea. But to tell it with your kids, you're going to have to know it as a couple. Have you sat down? Could you share it with each other? All those things that happen before. Because let me tell you right now, the biggest experts on parents are the people that have no kids. Ask them. Well, I'll tell you, when I have kids, you're not going to be seeing me stick some electronic device in front of their face, and they're only going to have healthy food. And the next time you see them, they've got three iPads and they're shoving Twizzlers up their nostrils. Anything to get... I said, you gave them Twizzlers? Yeah, they won't serve them beer here. I mean, they're doing anything. So ahead of it, you're going to think that there's lots of help, but you need to decide for sure. There is nothing worse than deciding parenting on the fly. And most of the time, we do, because we didn't expect that to be the thing that we would face. But then eventually we're going to find ourselves into this preschool area. I guess I should say from birth until they get to school is what one commentator called the service parenting. You are there, listen, to serve your kids, which doesn't help when just a few months earlier you guys were having a great time serving each other and serving yourself, right? It was carefree. It was reckless. It was pick up and go. And then all of a sudden, this thing comes along. And you know what it contributes to the family? Nothing. It demands. It demands to be held. It demands to be put down. It demands to eat. It demands to burp. It demands to be changed. It demands because it doesn't like being changed. It is a demanding thing, and it takes and it takes and it takes and it takes. And what do I get out of it? Nothing but grief. Not to mention she's mad at me and I'm mad at her because one of us is responsible for putting the other one in this predicament. You need to understand going into that stage and in that stage that that is what parenting is. It is service. It is where you put your hobbies on a shelf. It is where you put your vacations on a shelf. It's where you put aside date night on a shelf. Because you have a full time. I will tell you this. Any of you here only have one child? One child? All your time and all your money, right? They take. Okay, those of you with four or more, how much of your time and money do they take? All your time and all your money. It doesn't matter how many you have, they just want more, right? But there is a period of time, and it's very important to realize that in those days, they're going to need serving. When they're released from their mother's physical care, meaning that umbilical cord is cut, they are needing of you for everything. And if they didn't need you, you wouldn't be parents, right? That's what that role takes. But as I said, with my kids, I loved less when they couldn't talk and they couldn't walk. And as soon as we taught them to talk and walk, we taught them to hush up and sit down, right? But they get to a place where we begin to talk about them making that next transition, that transition into what we would call the school years, okay? The school years. Now, in the preschool years, we have other little pests that come along. Grandparents, right? because they want to be there and they're experts on everything. And we have maybe, if you're like Tammy and I, every year for Christmas we got a baby. And so we begin to see sibling rivalries. And, you know, if you don't know this, those of you just have one or two. But, you know, the first one, nobody's touching. I don't want anybody to give you a creepy goo all over them. And then the second one, and you're like, okay, you can hold them, but just for a minute. The third one, you throw on the couch and let the other two play with them. I mean, that's, I don't want to tell you about the daughter, bless her heart. We left her at the hospital, but she found her way to us. It was okay. So, but in that, you have all of these dynamics, but then all of a sudden, life has to get organized, right? We step into this role that we leave service behind, and we start talking about being the teacher or the mentor. It's the place that we're guiding our children. I felt sorry for a couple that was over here going, well, ours is a baby. Well, yeah, I know, but who beats the baby when it needs it? It's a baby. And over here, they're going, both of us do. Can we take these paddles? You know? But it becomes now, things become more organized, and I think there's a new kind of intentionality that has to start, right? Let me tell you that it is harder for parents than it is for kids. Oh, kids will fool you. Because they want a snack at the end of the day. They're trying to lull you in. Our oldest son went off to kindergarten, and Josh, if you would not imagine that Josh now was Josh then. Josh is kind of a big, burly guy, but then he was just this little cute, pudgy guy that couldn't beat me up. And, you know, his foot was the same direction, front to back, side to side, top to bottom, just a little pudgy thing and everything. He went off to kindergarten. And we let it was yesterday, had on this little, these little denim jeans and a little denim jacket that had red and blue stripes on it. And I mean, he was just so cute. And he wore cologne. Josh wore cologne through like the sixth grade. And then there was no cologne capable of overtaking the odor that he, but he wore cologne. His teachers always say, he's struggling in math, but he is the best smelling student that we have. So off Josh goes, we let him off, and there's an incline that goes up to his school. We let him out on at the sidewalk. And of course, being the mature parents that we are, we're doing everything we can to hold it in. And he gets to the top of the hill, and almost in picturesque fashion, he turns back, he looks over his shoulder, he turns, and he goes, and walks off. We're coming apart. But what we didn't know is the world was getting ready to come apart, because all of a sudden there were things that were going to be demanding from outside our family. I mean, we had church, and you obviously have health and weather and things like that, but all of a sudden we had school. The most difficult part of parenting takes place at a school program. They're horrible. One, because I have to watch every other person's kid limp through a song about Little Orphan Annie. I mean, it's something terrible. One of the most rewarding times is the school program. When your child takes their place, well, not in the spotlight. They're back here because they're a tree in this particular production with their green face sticking out of it. And they're not paying any attention at all. Those are some of the most rewarding. But Tammy began to say that here were some things is now all of a sudden one child takes his place outside of the nest, right? He leaves behind the children that are his siblings. She now has elevated to, well, a level of education unlike anything they could even comprehend. And so the sibling rivalries begin to increase. It's not just arguing over a thing or a TV show or a particular snack. Now it is this social level of where they're at. The school child now has gone off to the university of preschool. And they will come back willing to share not only with their siblings, but with their parents what it is their parents need to know about the outside world. Because up until this point, they perceive that their parents are limited to this home as well. They don't go off to school, but I do. Good thing I'm coming back. And so things begin to change. And at our house, we had to decide what was our home going to be. And simply put, it was this: home base. We wanted this to be the place where our children came back to. This where our children felt safest. Here's where our people, our kids could come back and share. Here's the place where they could bring their friends. I mentioned to the men, not all of our friends were the guys and gals that we thought were the most acceptable, but we knew who they were because they were at our house. And so we highly recommend that as the world begins to spin your kids out, as they are educated and they have new friends and they have jobs and those kind of things, you begin to say our way, not to keep them or hold on to them, but to stay involved and connected, is to make our home the home base. And so our yard looked like crap, because it during the spring and summer, the grass had a field of baseball where they just ran in it with their friends, which changed over quickly into the fall and winter, and you could see from goal line to goal line, and they asked me if I would mow it different directions so it would look nice for them. And you know what? That was our home. And that's what we wanted it to be. I want to caution you, we want to caution you on watching your calendar. You are not going to be able to do all that you once did, and you're probably not going to be able to do all that you want to do. Tammy and I have some good friends, and she came in on a Wednesday night. Her kids at that point in time were pre-junior high, maybe just getting into junior high. We had had our Bible study on Wednesday night. It's about 8:30. We're all sitting there, as was custom, visiting afterwards. And she says, I have got to get my kids home. We have not even eaten today. Her day started about 6 o'clock in the morning when she pinballed her way through a series of things. That she was a go-getter gal. I mean, she went to the gym twice a day, and she was involved in all kinds of things, and she'd grab her kids. And when you went to their house, they were not pigs, but the laundry was on every flat surface. And there would be one little clean pile, and then there would be 10 dirty piles, and then there'd be 10 clean piles and one dirty pile. And when I hear a parent say, it's really a struggle for us, for example, to be to church, we have a lot of things on our plate, it tells me this: it's time to clean your plate. It's time to, and I'm not, that's not about church attendance. It's about if you cannot do things that you yourself admit are important and you've given away simply to the urgency, it may very well be that having your son or daughter on 3 sporting teams at a time isn't important. It's just urgent. When teachers, coaches, neighborhoods, whatever are setting your schedule, you've got it turned around, and that's not easy to do. We were forced with some difficult decisions with our kids. My second oldest son loves sports, and he loves sports, and their kids love sports. Now, I will say the only caveat to this is they are great Christian parents who don't miss church for anything. But our second oldest son, he wasn't the biggest, but he was the smartest guy on a football field or on a basketball court. He could be a coach. He understands the game. In fact, he probably is right now yelling at a 7th grade girls soccer team, acting like it's the World Cup, because that's what his Saturdays look like. In fact, I got a message at an airport day before yesterday. I thought you'd like to see when your grandson scored the first goal at soccer. And I'm like, I didn't even share it with his grandmother about that. Wait, let me replay it for you.
Grandma, let's
see. Here, did you see it? Here it is. Look. Goal! Okay, that was it. Yeah. Goal! It was the same way, just shorter. Okay, she didn't think I'd get off the floor. So anyway, but here's the point. When those things are dictating your schedule, you have things out of kilter. life demands, the service call on the refrigerator, the car that needs to be serviced, certainly work and school have things that regiment your time, but be really careful during those school year or those early school years that you don't begin to set that tone now for that, because it will only get worse as they go along. But as was often the case with our kids, just about the time we got a rhythm, life changed. Life changed for us any number of ways in the first 10 or 15 years of our life. It seemed to rotate this way. We went from this many kids to this many kids. And when we held off and didn't have another kid, we moved apartments. And when we didn't move apartments or have another kid, I changed jobs. And about the time I changed jobs, guess what? Tammy got pregnant again. And so we had a kid again. And then I was like, well, at least we know where. Well, time to move. And we moved. And that's how our rotation was. It was constantly changing for us. But I will tell you, when our kids stepped over the threshold into the so-called teen years, Katie barred the door. It was a catastrophe. Now, for us, it was later, but we have found out from people that have been sharing with us lately, and even a recent survey, when do you think the teen years are beginning? 12. Oh, we wish.
10.
Oh, that would be nice too.
8.
In fact, currently, you remember terrible twos? They're way out of fashion now. Hateful eights have taken their place. We are finding that 8-year-olds, now I had somebody share with me that they've got a great 8-year-old, I guess 9-year-old now, but was a great 8-year-old. So there is always one in the group, but the rest of them are a nightmare. No, that's not true. But here's what's happening. Physiologically, they're beginning to change. In fact, we've got a great struggle right now is because, interestingly enough, as advanced as our world is, it's physicality that is reflecting a quicker change of young men into manhood, and especially young women into womanhood. We're beginning to see it earlier and earlier and earlier, whereas we might see a young woman begin to have a menstrual cycle somewhere when they're 10, 11, 12. We're now seeing it 8, 9, 10s in there. But we're not socially more advanced. In other words, we've taken and put an 8-year-old brain into a 13-year-old body. And I will just tell you, a 13-year-old brain doesn't know what to do with a 13-year-old body, much less an 8-year-old brain. And so the preteen years are simply a ramp up for what is about to hit. Because in a period of 12 months, from a wonderful birthday party that ends with a little boy saying, "Thanks for a great party, Mom. Could you read me a bedtime story?" It changes. And there is a voice of the very belly of hell that belches from the child that says, "Do you have any idea what's happening in the world today? It's a good thing you have me here. I'll go to bed whenever I please." I mean, it happens just that quick. Now, there is a good news to that. Most every phase in a young man, a young girl's life, from the time they're born till the time they finally, they grow up and they move out, that all those periods seem like a long time, they're relatively short. "This too shall pass" may be the best encouragement you can give to a parent. But the teen year says this too will pass like a kidney stone. Okay, that's how it is. Because God made them exactly the way He wanted them to be. They are beginning to stretch their wings. They are beginning to grow up. They are beginning to test the waters and your patience at the same time. And so as they begin to enter this phase, you need to realize this. It is tough on you, and it is tough on them. We have what is often described as fortunate forgetting, and that is that we don't remember what it was like. Tammy and I were watching a movie here a week or so ago, and it was a young man, a young woman. It was all that, "Do you love me? I don't think you do," the first time love and all that stuff. And I said, as exhilarating and incredible at that time was, I also remember the in-between conversations of those relationships when I didn't have a relationship. Will I ever have a girlfriend? Does anybody think I'm interesting? It was, there were some miserable days. And more we're finding young men and young women that are going, this is miserable to the point of I want to die. And so don't think that they're like, we're at the control and we have complete control over everything we're doing. Their world is spinning out of control. And if you're not careful, you'll let it spin yours out too. So remember, you guys are both in the boat. And it doesn't matter if you want to tell them that they poked a hole in it. You both are sinking along with it, right? And so it is a matter of working with them through all that. And so we began to, and I've already mentioned it to the guys a little bit, but that was the fact that we began to regulate their friendships more. More to the point, we tried to cultivate relationships that would benefit them. I don't know of, except of one person that we ever specifically told my kids, this is enough. And not every kid, I mean, the kids on our block, if I talk, two of them went to prison, one of them died, one committed suicide, all within a short, relatively short period of time on our street. We had parents that were single parents. We had a single parent with grandma raising kids. We had a divorced couple. We had a couple that had both been married before and had a little bit of yours, mine, and ours. I mean, we had the full gamut of everything. And all of those kids, did I mention, ran up and down my yard. Our hopes was that we influenced them for the good, but I will just tell you, we didn't just sit there and go, no, not suitable. But we did watch that. And not only did we watch it, we tried to put them in situations that built greater friendships. Our kids and who they are, who they're married to, and who they're raising their children to be, for the most part, is a direct result of the relationships that we built for them with other people. Whether it was within the church, within the Christian university, within that extended group of friends that we said, hey, come to our house for Thanksgiving. Those are still, I have some son, my three of my sons right now have a group of friends that literally have been friends since at least one of them was a baby still taking a bottle and Tammy daycared him. And they are friends now, full grown men with kids. They're older with kids. They're still a long way from full grown. They're gonna have to learn how to shave for once. So here's a couple of things we recommend those 10 years, those teen years. Number one is keep God first. I'm serious. It's going to have to be the priority of your home. I am not talking about being at church. That may be part of it. I'm not talking about just daily Bible reading or prayers before bed. I'm about talking about God, more specifically Jesus, first in their minds. It's going to help you when you talk about sexuality. It's going to talk about friendships. When it talks about future, that's what is at the center point of that. Number two, keep the communication open. Keep the communication open. They may come in and have done the most boneheaded thing there is. And the worst thing you could do for the situation is react in such a way that it ends the communication. Now, I will tell you, it's my time, I wanted to tell the story while she was in here. I talked about a little bit about spanking, and I said I was more about spanking, and Tammy was a little more about, come over here, let's talk for just a minute. But we did have our oldest son, Kyle. Kyle is way too much like his dad. But Kyle is a mouth, and he likes to talk back. He's pretty smart. In fact, he's kind of freakishly smart. Can't get the right color of socks to go with his pants, but he's pretty smart. And so he was being smart to his mother one time, and Tammy gave, I just see her right now. Kyle's kind of standing against the door to the closet and the wall, and she goes, Kyle, I could just hear, it was inside her head, but it's going, and she said, Kyle, enough's enough. And you could just see him vocally, she goes, Kyle, another word, and I'm going to punch you. I mean, that was her word, I'm going to punch you. And Tammy was not a puncher. And he, and I think he even kind of looked down on her physically. He had got inside and he kind of went, one more time? How about if I say this? She caught him under the chin. His head went bang against the wall, bang against the closet. With all of the siblings around, he hit the floor and I went, down goes Frasia! And everybody is a roar. It was the most humiliating sight. We did find out later, Tammy's, that Kyle kind of has a glass jaw. So there's a time when you go, listen, communication is over. I got one more thing to say. And then when you wake up, we can keep going if you'd like. But it is important to keep that communication going. And the more heated it is, the harder it is, but the more important that it is to do that. The biggest challenge, letting them make decisions that you know are not good choices. I'm not talking about deathly choices. I'm not talking about things that you know are blatantly wrong, but it is hard to see your kid make mistakes, especially if they're the ones that you've made. Tammy and I hope that this particular word is not considered inappropriate to you, but we would talk with some of our kids and we would tell them and we would encourage them, and then we would say, well, then have a stupid life. Meaning, if you want to behave ignorantly, then reap the consequences of an ignorant choice. That is hard to do, because even when you're angry, you don't want that for them. And you're like, it is hard to let them put their finger over the nail and lift that hammer up and go, if you move that thumb just a little bit, it's going to hurt a whole lot less. To which they go, I think I know how to nail a nail. I go, have a stupid life. Okay? Wham. Because when they hit, they're going to come to you going, I hit my thumb. I wrecked the car. I'm out of money. My girlfriend's pregnant. Whatever number of things there are. And as parents, you know what we do? Well, now it's time to move from that coaching, mentoring to the counseling. And that's where you start saying, yeah. And you got some consequences that you're going to have to deal with now. Mom and dad can't rescue you from this. And that's hard. I can't tell about when your kid's 44 and older, but up until the time they're 43, you will still feel that way. At least we do. So be careful. But then, finally one day, the acceptance letter comes and you're so glad that it's not a correspondence call. Yes, I don't care where First University of Wichita is. We're glad you're going. We're so excited for you because finally you'll be gone. Kyle, the mouth, off to Oklahoma Christian College. His girlfriend then of about 5 or 6 years, they dated a couple more and then were married. I think they've been dating and married longer than Tammy and I have been dating and married. They've been married 20-some years now. We get ready to drop Kyle at Oklahoma Christian. Tammy's parents live less than an hour from the campus. We lived in Denver, but they lived less than an hour. He has a bunch of friends that are coming there to the university, and his girlfriend has already been delivered by her parents on campus. We're going to let him off at the student center. We've already got him all moved into his stuff. It's a day, and we're leading him off, and then we're heading to Denver. Kyle gets out of the car. Socks didn't match. He heads over towards the door of the student center and he turns and he looks over his shoulder. We didn't speak for 2.5 hours till we got to Salina, Kansas, in which point I put some song on that Tammy said made her cry. But if you've ever been to Salina, Kansas, that will make you cry. You know what I realized? It's just a different kind of parenting. Letting him off at preschool, letting him off. And you know what else I realized? All of those things in between went a whole lot faster than I thought. We are at 43 years married with a son that will be 43 in December. And we wiped his bare bottom last year putting diapers on him. And that's not because he's got an incontinence issue. Okay, just somebody goes, oh, I'm sorry, does he have some problem? No, he was an, I started saying infant, but that's true. He was an infant, he still is, but that's a different thing altogether. But we had to realize this, everything didn't need to be a fight in those 2 years, in those teen years. We had to work through those things. Unfortunately, I think for us, we and our children had to learn that a little bit after. Recently, somebody came up to Tammy and they go, where were you 30 years ago with these things? And I said, trying to figure them out just like you are. So it is a matter of learning a lot of those things as we go. Okay. The Lord keeps amen in me, so I must be doing something right because I keep hearing his rumbling. We're going to just do this. If you need to get you a drink, come back. I will reiterate the fact that your kids aren't ever gone for good. And for a while, you'll be sorry that they come back. And then they'll have grandkids, and you'll be glad that they come back. And that's the real payoff. I mean, you'll never be satisfied with your kids, but grandkids are wonderful. No, here's what let's do. Let's take just a five-minute stretch break here. Grab you another drink if you need to. And then we're going to rapid fire through just a couple of things that will summarize some things that we've talked about. Our schedule shows till 3:30. We gained a little bit of time. We'll get you out of here before 3 o'clock, and that'll be good news because nobody ever complains about getting out early.